The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. This is First in the Family with DJ First to Do It, a real look at the first-gen college journey, the long nights, the big dreams, and the moments that push us forward. This path isn't easy, but we're built for it. This is my story, and maybe yours too. Let's get it. Welcome back to First in the Family. I'm your host, DJ First to Do It. Today's episode is all about something a lot of us know too well, trying to balance it all. Not just classes and homework, but everything outside of school too. For a lot of first-gen students, college isn't the only responsibility on our plate. We're juggling family obligations, emotional support roles, sometimes even translation duties, and the unspoken pressure to still be the perfect student. It's a lot. And nobody really prepares us for what that actually looks like day to day. What makes this experience unique is that for many of us, going to college doesn't pull us away from our families. It binds us tighter to them. We're still the go-to person when someone in the house needs help with paperwork, rides to appointments, or someone to vent to after a stressful day. We carry the weight of our own deadlines while staying emotionally available for the people we love. That duality, it's exhausting. It can feel like you're living in two worlds, the student world that demands your full focus and the home world that doesn't pause just because you're in school. And let's talk about guilt. Guilt is one of those emotions that creeps in when you're trying to focus on your education, but feel like you're abandoning your family. Like when you can't make it home for a birthday or miss a family event because you got an exam. Or when you're at school worrying about what's going on at home instead of focusing on the lecture. It's this mental tug of war that drains your energy and makes you feel like no matter where you are, you're letting someone down. It's also hard because your family doesn't always understand the kind of time and energy college takes. They see you at home or on your laptop and think you're just on the computer. They don't see the research, the discussion boards, the group projects, the 10-page papers due by midnight. Sometimes they unintentionally expect you to be as available as you were before you left for school. And when you try to explain, it can feel like you're asking them to value something they've never experienced themselves. But here's the thing. Just because they don't understand doesn't mean they don't care. For many of our families, education is a mystery. They might not know what it takes, but they believe in your potential. It's tough when they can't fully relate, but their support often shows up in other ways, checking in on you, reminding you to eat, or just letting you vent when everything feels a little too much. And those moments matter. They're reminders that even if they don't get it all, they're still in your corner. One of the biggest challenges is learning how to set boundaries without feeling like you're turning your back on your own family. Saying, I can't do this right now, I have to study, feels selfish, even though it's not. It's about protecting your time, your energy, and your mental space. But when you come from a culture or home where helping family is non-negotiable, boundaries can feel like betrayal. That's where the emotional labor kicks in, constantly trying to do what's right for your future without hurting the people who got you here. And let's not forget about the emotional role we often play in our families. A lot of us are the fixers, the listeners, the translators of both language and emotion. We're the bridge between generations and the role that doesn't stop just because we're in college. It can be hard to focus on an essay when you're also helping a sibling with homework, supporting a parent through a tough week, or dealing with a family conflict. The emotional weight is invisible, but it's heavy. And there's the time management part. When your day is packed with classes, homework, family check-ins, and the random things that come up, time becomes your most valuable resource. Some days it feels like no matter how early you wake up or how late you stay up, there's just not enough time to get everything done. And the burnouts sneak in slowly. You don't realize how tired you are until you crash, midweek, wondering, how are you going to make it to Friday? I had to learn the hard way that being busy all the time isn't a badge of honor. I used to think I had to be constantly grinding, keeping up with school, helping out at home, checking in on everyone, just to be a good student and a good son. But the truth is, rest is just as important. If you're always running on empty, you're not showing up as your best self in any area of your life. Giving yourself permission to rest doesn't mean you're slacking, it means you're sustaining yourself. Something that has helped me is actually planning time to be present with my family, instead of trying to multitask everything all the time. When I carve out a specific window to talk to my mom or help out around the house, I'm more focused in those moments. and I don't feel as guilty when I turn around and lock in on schoolwork. Afterward, it's not always perfect, but it helps me feel more in control of my schedule instead of letting it control me. Another thing that's helped me is learning how to ask for support from both sides, family and school. I started opening up to my professors about what I was balancing outside of class. Most of them were understanding, more than I thought. I also reached out to the school support systems, whether that's counseling, tutoring, or even the food pantry, because I realized I didn't have to carry everything alone. Let's talk about community. Finding other students, especially other first-gen guys, who were also balancing family responsibility, changed everything for me. There's something powerful about being around people who just get it. You don't have to explain the guilt, the pressure, or the pride that comes with being the first. It's just understood, whether it's a formal group or just a few close friends. Having a circle like that keeps you grounded. What's been key for me is shifting from a mindset of perfection to one of progress. That was a big change. I used to think that being successful meant doing everything right, all the time. I felt like I had to be the perfect student, the perfect son, the perfect everything. So when I messed up, even just a little, I would beat myself up over it. If I turned in an assignment late, forgot to call my mom back, or didn't get the grade I wanted on a quiz, it felt like I was failing at all of it. But over time, I realized that kind of thinking wasn't helping me. It was holding me back. Perfection is a trap. You'll never reach it. And chasing it just wears you down. What I've learned, instead, is to celebrate progress. To recognize that showing up, doing my best, and learning from the mistakes I do make, that's success. That's growth. And growth, it's not linear. Some days I'm on point, and other days I'm struggling to keep up, and that's okay. Because as long as I'm moving forward, I'm building something real, something strong, and I've learned to take pride in that. Not in being flawless, but in being resilient. Balancing school and family as a first-gen student isn't just about time management. It's about emotional labor. It's about carrying the expectations of the people who raised you while trying to shape your own path. It's about showing up to class with a paper due, all while thinking about whether your little siblings got picked up from school or if your mom made it through another shift okay. And that's a lot to carry, but at the same time, it's an opportunity, a chance to develop skills that most people don't learn until much later in life. I've had to become more intentional with my time, more honest with myself about what I can and can't handle, and more vocal about what I need from others. I've learned how to advocate for myself, whether that's setting boundaries at home or having real conversations with professors. And in doing all of that, I've started becoming someone I wish I had when I first started this journey. Because the truth is, every time I manage to stay grounded in both my responsibilities and my goals, I'm creating a blueprint. A blueprint that can help the next first-gen student, the next little brother, the next person in my family who dares to dream bigger. So yeah, it's hard, but it's also powerful. And every step I take in this balance, it's building something that's going to last. One thing that's helped me balance everything is realizing that communication matters more than I thought, especially at home. For a long time, I just assumed my family wouldn't understand what I was going through. So I kept everything to myself. But over time, I realized that keeping them out only made things harder. Once I started explaining what school is really like, how the workload piles up, how group projects take up more time than they seem, how mentally draining it can be, they began to understand that I wasn't just busy, I was overwhelmed. It didn't solve everything overnight, but it opened the door for better conversations. Now, when I say I need a quiet hour to study or a space to focus, it doesn't turn into a debate. They may not fully get it, but they respect it, and that respect goes a long way. Don't underestimate the power of simply explaining your reality, even when it's uncomfortable. Something that doesn't get talked about enough is the invisible weight that cultural expectations add to this whole balancing act. As a first-gen student, there are unspoken roles I'm expected to play at home. Translator, tech support, emotional anchor, even mediator during family disagreements. And those roles don't just pause when midterms hit, they're constant, and they carry on emotional toll. It's more than just balancing school and home. It's about navigating cultural responsibility, identity, and how much of yourself you're allowed to evolve without feeling like you're leaving your roots behind. That mental juggling act is exhausting, especially when you're trying to grow into a new version of yourself while staying true to who your family expects you to be. And finding peace in that tension, that's been one of the hardest parts of college so far. One of the biggest shifts for me was realizing I need to reclaim time for myself, not just for school or for my family, but for the person I'm becoming. When you're always showing up for others and trying to prove yourself, your own identity can start to blur. I had to ask myself, who am I when I'm not a student, when I'm not a son or a role model or someone trying to make people proud? That question hit hard. I started carving out intentional time just for me. Whether that meant journaling, going for a walk, or doing something that just had nothing to do with school or obligations. And what I found is that giving yourself time to just be isn't selfish, it's necessary. When you give yourself space to reconnect with who you are at your core, everything else starts to feel a little bit more manageable. Something I didn't expect was how hard it would be when the people I love don't fully understand who I'm becoming. College changes you. It changes how you think, how you see the world, how you carry yourself, and sometimes that growth creates distance, especially with family who haven't walked this path. There's been moments where I've tried to share something I learned in class or talk about future plans, and it just doesn't land. Not because they don't care, but because they don't know the world I'm stepping into. And that can feel lonely. You start questioning, can I grow without losing connection to where I came from? The truth is, it's not easy, but I've learned that part of this journey is learning how to bridge those gaps, to honor my roots while still making space for who I am becoming. A big realization I've had is that support doesn't always look how you expect it to. As first-gen students, we don't always get the pep talks or the step-by-step guidance. Sometimes, support shows up in small ways, like your mom packing you a meal without asking, or your sibling giving you quiet time to study. And sometimes, support comes from places you didn't expect, classmates, professors, or even staff who see something in you and choose to show up. I used to think support had to be loud, obvious, or emotional, but now I understand it can be silent, subtle, and still powerful. Part of balancing it all is learning to recognize and receive the support whenever it comes forward. Because even when it doesn't look like a perfect blueprint, it still matters. It still counts. One of the more surprising things I didn't expect to deal with as a first-gen student was guilt. Not just about being away from home or missing family events, but guilt around doing well. There's this weird emotional tension when you start to thrive in a space your family never got to experience. Like, you're walking through college campuses, having deep conversations, learning new things, and you start to fill a gap. You think about your parents working long shifts, about the siblings you have to leave behind, and a part of you wonders, why do I get to be here when they're still grinding every day? It can make it hard to fully enjoy your wins. You hesitate to share your success because you don't want it to sound like bragging, but that mindset, while totally normal, can hold you back from fully stepping into what you've earned. I've been learning that thriving in college doesn't mean you're leaving your family or your roots behind. It means you're honoring their sacrifices by taking full advantage of the opportunity they helped create. We carry so much, expectations, pride, pressure, but we also carry permission to grow. Doing well doesn't mean you're abandoning where you came from. It means you're opening doors that were previously shut. And the more doors you open, the more chances others will have to walk through them too. We don't have to feel bad for learning, for leveling up, for becoming someone new. Growth doesn't mean disconnection, it means expansion. And the people who love you, the ones who raised you, they don't want you to dim your light. They want to see you shine. You just have to remind yourself that you can do both, rise and remain rooted. That's a wrap on episode 4 of First in the Family. If you're trying to balance it all, school, family, pressure, you're not alone. You're doing more than enough, and every step forward matters.